It's a fun song. Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the letter to the Colossians, which isn't a typical Lenten scripture, but I was reading some material by the writer Joyce Rupp, who writes some great worship material, and she was at a retreat one time and heard this passage and thought, what a neat passage for Lent. And I thought this year we would use it for Lent, and it will be the passage we will use each week for Lent. And I thought we would read it together today, taken from Colossians 3. So let's read together our scripture. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. A word from our Holy Scripture. So as I said, this is the beginning of the season of Lent. It actually, as Joanne explained, started on Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, but this is the first Sunday of Lent, and Lent goes 40 days minus Sundays. So no matter what you're doing throughout Lent, Sundays are never part of that because they're always mini Easters. There's still always celebration days, no matter what you're doing throughout Lent. Lent itself, the meaning of the word, just relates to lengthening. It's an old Latin word for lengthening, which just means days are getting longer. Spring is coming. Yahoo! I said to somebody this week, in a month's time, it's going to be 2 hours more light at night because the time will change, plus we'll get another hour. So we're going to have to, oh, can't wait for that. I love when that happens. Anyway, spring is coming, we say, for Lent. And often for Lent, as Joanne was explaining, people engage in spiritual practices over this time. They choose to do something to mark the Lenten season. And I think if we engage spiritual seasons, they can be very meaningful. Yet I think we've lost the practice of what we do those things for. And they have become, in the past, just a time of deprivation. We've tried to say, we'll give up chocolate, or give up sweets, or give up TV, or nobody will give up their phone these days, but we'll give up something. But what happens is when you get to Easter, people say, oh good, I can do it again. And what has been the point then of doing that practice? If we're to resist temptation, that would be a good thing. But the bottom line is, the practices that we engage over Lent really should be expansive practices, not restrictive practices. They should be practices of preparation for the passion and the resurrection of Christ. As I've said many times, you cannot get to Easter without first going through Good Friday. There has to be a death to something in order for there to be new life. And so Good Friday moves us into that space of letting go so that something else can grow, happen. So this season of Lent is about preparation, preparing for Christ. So what I thought we'd do this year is focus on this passage from Colossians, and each week we're going to engage one of those virtues in the passage. Compassion, patience, kindness, meekness, all those, forgiveness, and love. So today we start on compassion. Practicing compassion. And the scripture says, in fact, clothe yourselves with compassion. That is the mark of a chosen one of God, is when we clothe ourselves with these things and we practice them in our lives. Compassion, the definition of compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and sadness or sorrow for another who is suffering, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. It's not just the feeling that you get when you see somebody suffering, it's the strong desire to do something about it. The actual word itself, the English noun, compassion, means to love together, to co-suffer with another. To co-suffer with another. I think we're losing a little bit of that as we become jaded and cynical in our society today, as we hear so much going on in the world that sometimes we have to turn off in order for our hearts not to constantly be breaking. A couple of weeks ago, I ran into Walmart to pick up a few things. When I picked them up, I got into the line, you know, for the 8 items or less. And there was only one couple ahead of me, and there was only one cashier because it was not too busy at that point in time. And so I stood there waiting for the people in front of me to go through, not paying a whole lot of attention, just sort of mindlessly standing there until I realized this seems to be taking an awful long time. And so I looked at where the cashier was and this couple who were in front of me, and they looked a little scraggly, I would say, ill-fitting clothes, little older couple, and they looked like the world had just worn them out. And so my heart went out to them as I watched. And as I paid a little more attention, I realized that they were paying with a little bag of coins that they had pulled out and was sitting on the counter with them. It was only a few things, maybe milk, a few bananas, that sort of thing, as I watched. And the cashier said, "Can I help you?" wanting to get them through, thinking that the next person in line might be getting a little impatient. But they kept digging into this bag and putting a little more coins on the counter to count them out. And I realized pretty quickly that all they had was dimes and nickels in this bag, nothing more. So it was going to take them a little while to count out this money. And they'd count out a pile of dimes, a dollar, and they'd count out another pile of dimes and a dollar. And I just sat there, and as I stood there, my heart was breaking. And I thought, why don't you just go? I think it's a God nudge sometimes. Why don't you just go and pay for this for them? My heart, God, was telling me that. My head was saying, maybe they'll reject you, or maybe they don't want it, or maybe they're proud, or something like that. But that wasn't the point. The point that is God is working in my heart to do something, and even if they didn't want it, I was supposed to do something. And I missed that opportunity because I didn't do it. That's on me. I hurriedly paid for my few things and I thought, okay, I can still do something. And I ran out to the parking lot as quickly as I could, but they had disappeared. And I didn't have the opportunity to show the kind of compassion that God has for us and God wants us to show for others. Because that's what it's all about. Jesus was once asked, "Who is my neighbor? Who do I have to love?" And Jesus answered with a story, as Jesus was prone to do, to give his message. And he said, a fellow was going along a path from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was waylaid on the path, and robbers attacked him and stripped him naked and took everything he had and beat him and then left him along the side of the road, half dead. And then he said, And a priest came along and saw the man. I mean, he obviously saw him because he walked to the other side of the road and walked right on by. And then he said another religious person, a Levite, came along and saw the man on the road and walked to the other side and left him there, half dead. And then he said a Samaritan came along, somebody who was reviled, not respected. The people didn't care about the Samaritans at the time, and the Samaritan came along and he stopped. And he tended to his wounds and he bandaged him up and he put him on his own donkey and he went out of his way to take him to an inn and cared for him there till the next day when he went to the innkeeper and said, look after all of his needs, I will pay for them. And when I get back from my trip, I must go somewhere, but when I get back, I will pay whatever it cost to care for this man. Jesus said, Who was the one who loved him? Who was the neighbor? And the fellow said, the one who had compassion. The one who had compassion. Christians for centuries have proclaimed Christ as their Lord and Savior. And in doing so, have said we have been saved no matter what we do. And so what we have done throughout history is violence and judgment and selfish acts throughout history and called ourselves Christian. And I'm not saying that about people here, but it has been done and it is still being done. Today, doesn't matter what religion you are not a follower of Christ until you show compassion. Jesus never said, worship me. He said, follow me. Follow me. Do what I do. Show compassion. Show mercy, extend forgiveness to your enemies, to the people you do not know. And if there is ever going to be healing in this world, it will only be because we are able to show compassion to those we don't agree with. Compassion means crossing the aisle and saying, I understand, I have hurt too, and I know you are hurt. Everyone suffers. Everyone is struggling with something. Have compassion. This week my heart broke when I heard of another shooting in Florida where 14 young people and 3 teachers were killed. And sometimes we get hardened to those things because we say, another one. It's happening again. Maybe they should get their act together. When it really came home to me, though, is when I heard the father say, I don't know. I don't know if I said I love you to my daughter when she left for school yesterday. And I'm never going to get that chance again. I don't know what to do next, he said. We are broken. We are broken. I can't give that man a hug. None of us probably will. But you can hug your own kids. Let them know every day that you love them. And maybe you know something about mental illness, and maybe you want to be an advocate in that area. Or maybe you have some feeling about guns, which we don't have as big a problem with here, but it's here nevertheless. It happens. It has happened in this province. Compassion has to move us beyond feeling something to doing something. A lot of you here do a lot and have started a lot of things. Brian and Shannon are two of the most compassionate people I know. And when they know there's a need, they do something about it. They start something. You do something through benevolent fund, through having an upstairs apartment that can be used, through housing people through floods, through making lunches for kids who aren't learning well because they don't have enough food. You're a compassionate community, and we should be known as a compassionate community. Albert Einstein, probably one of the best scientists in all history, wrote this, not about science, but he said this is what is important. Our task must be to free ourselves. That's Lent. To free ourselves by widening our circle of compassion, to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature and its beauty. Not just other human beings, we need compassion for our earth these days as well, which we haven't had. We're not tending too well to it. Did you hear that story this week about the trucker who was on a logging road? And he saw something over in a snowbank, like sticks sticking out of a snowbank. And he stopped, fortunately. And he walked over and discovered it was a moose calf. And he thought, ah, it's probably gone. And he went over and the little calf just turned and looked at him. He said, now I have to do something. So he got out his shovel and dug out this little moose and set it on its way. Gave him a little look and off it went. We have to look after nature as well. Meister Eckhart, who is one of the great middle-aged German theologians, philosophers, and mystics, said this, "You may call God love. You may call God goodness. But the best name for God is compassion." The best name for God is compassion. I put out prayer shawls today. Many people have received prayer shawls from this community. In fact, I took one out to DeWinton this morning as well. And I said, I'm going to leave it here. If you know of anybody who needs one, well, wouldn't you know it? Of course. It's a God incidence, we call it. Somebody came up afterwards and said, I have a friend who's only got a few months to live, and she's angry at God. And I said, that's okay. She said, could I give this to her? And I said, of course you can. I said, and she can be angry at God, and she can put on that shawl, and she can rail all she wants at God. God can handle it. But maybe the warmth of that shawl, and we blessed it, might make a difference to her, as it has to many people. Judy is not here, I don't think, today. Judy Niven has made many of them. And Ruby Lokes, before that, made many of them. We still probably have a few that Ruby made, even. Her legacy of love and compassion goes on as well. I have a tradition of blessing all of the prayer shawls before they get bagged up and given to people. This is our act of compassion, and we will never know who they get to. But please know that our prayers and our love goes with these prayer shawls and to these people. So these are shawls that have not yet been blessed. So I brought them in today, and I thought we would bless these shawls. So I'm going to invite anybody who wants to come up here and stand here and put a hand on one of these shawls and let your love go through this shawl to whoever may receive it. So if you want to come up and we'll bless these shawls, and then we can package them up and send them. Watch. Listen. Let your heart be engaged. Do not turn a blind eye, as I did, to people's suffering. What can you do this week to alleviate suffering? I'm going to leave you with that to reflect on that today. We're going to have some time of prayer. I invite you to go to one or the other station on the side.